Hello there, and thanks for joining the podcast today. Making a marriage better. That's my topic today. You know, all of us live in a world of relationships. We have our own marriage, and we view the marriages of others. We read about marriage. We see marriages portrayed in movies. We see marriages portrayed in the world around us. And we gain ideas, and we gain suggestions, and we gain momentum by viewing how other people are married and how they live out their marital relationship. So marriage is a public kind of a thing, and it's we learn it in public and we live it out in public. The marital bond is learned. We learn to enjoy each other, we learn to appreciate each other, we learn to know each other in a deeper kind of way, and with each of those steps, a greater bond is built. So strong marriages are not private, they're very public. They are lived out in the public arena, they're lived out in the church, lived out in the community, they're lived out in club, at work, and various other places where you are. Your marriage relationship is a very public relationship, yet it has its private side, and a must and should. But you learn to build that relationship as strong as you possibly can. And you go on reading and you go on viewing and observing other people and incorporate that. Now, most of us learned our marriage relationship from our parents. And oftentimes we start out our own marriage by imitating how our parents live. But we have to change that because what worked for them does not necessarily work for you. A strong marriage for them is not necessarily a strong marriage for you. What is kind of an effective marriage for them was not necessarily an effective marriage for you. But it's a model. It's a start out. It's a place to start. But then you have to make some changes so that make sure that your relationship is strong and personal and has a very intimate aspect to it. Now, how do you make a marriage better? How do you just improve it? Well, engage in acts of service, okay? Acts of service express consideration and care for the other person, okay? It's a kind of a language of compassion, a language of consideration, and a language of thoughtfulness. That's what service is. But actually, service is something unique. You know, if somebody asks you to do something, you're helping, right? That's a helping relationship. It's an act of helping. But when you do an act of service, that means you've initiated something. You haven't been asked to do it. You don't have to do it. It's not required. It's not demanded. It's not expected. But it's appreciated. Very deeply appreciated. It's an act that you initiate out of your willingness to be part of that relationship in a deeper way. And you act in a manner that serves the other person so that they'll appreciate you and appreciate your relationship and appreciate how you think about them. And that relationship will be stronger and built through service. Number two, acts of reassurance. You know, in our relationship, we like to be reassured. When you're reassured of something, that means your anxiety is reduced. That means your fear is reduced. That means your uncertainty is reduced. And it becomes then the building block of self-esteem. When you've been reassured and you know that your marriage is sound and strong and you're safe within that relationship and you have a future within that relationship. See, if you have uncertainty, that stirs up fear. On the other hand, reassurance calms. So you have this kind of uncertainty which stirs up fear and reassurance which stirs up calmness, if you will. So reassure your spouse of your ongoing love. Reassure them of your ongoing commitment. Reassure them of your ongoing compassion and your stick-to-itiveness. You're going to be there. You're going to be there through thick and thin. You're going to be there through the tough times and the hard times and the easy times and the fun times and all the rest. Be reassuring to your spouse. Here's the third one. Acts of focused attention. Focused attention. You see, when you intentionally pay attention to your spouse, that marriage becomes stronger. Because you don't have to pay attention, do you? I mean, in a sense, you should, but you don't really, it's not required. But at the same time, when you intentionally give your full attention to your spouse, what they're saying, what they're doing, their work situation, their experiences at work, their experiences with the children, their experiences with their in-laws, their experiences with their family, their experiences at work, and all the rest. When you pay attention to that, when you listen, and when you talk, and when you think it through and discuss, and you communicate, that makes the person feel special and valued and worthy. Okay? Here's the fourth one. Acts of appreciation. You know, we all like to be appreciated. We all like to know that our efforts, our work, our time together is appreciated. And we all like to know that there has been appreciation felt. So when it's felt, it needs to be said so the other person knows that they are being appreciated, you see? So appreciation is a desire to continue to do those things which please the other person, that pleases the spouse. See, appreciation just says, what you did I do like and I enjoy and I would like to see more of it and experience more of it. It's a form of reward. It's a form of being reinforced for a desired behavior. You see, when you're appreciated, that means you're going to do that thing again to be appreciated again in the future. When you do something and there's some kind of act of appreciation, words of appreciation, you like that, but you're also going to try to do the things that will bring that same kind of appreciation over and over and over again in your life and in your relationship. So express appreciation in words, in touch, and acts of service even. Can say, because you did this, I really want to do that for you. See, that becomes then an act of appreciation. And here's the fifth one for you. Acts of commitment. That's a big one. Acts of commitment. Commitment implies security. Brings about and communicates security. It brings about reassurance. It removes the uncertainty of the future. You see, when you have a commitment and you know that the commitment is there, you can now plan for the future. You can think ahead more than the next 6 months or 3 months or the next year. You can think ahead 10 years and 15 years ahead, and you can plan your life. You can plan your career. You can plan your family life. You can plan where you would like to be 10 years from now, what you'd like to be doing 10 years from now, because you're going to be together. That commitment allows for that advanced planning, for futuristic thinking. Someone said that marriage is a marathon and not a sprint. Well, there you are. That's put the words nicely. Marathon is the long haul. It's the long run. Sprint is just a very short race, if you will, of yards rather than miles and miles and miles. See? So marriage doesn't begin with engagement. In a sense, marriage is engagement through the whole life. Through the rest of your life, you see, it's to be celebrated and enjoyed forever. So that act of commitment just says, I'm here and I will be here. I have been here, I will be here, and I will be here, and I will be here. We are in this together, we're going to see it through, and we're going to enjoy it together, and we're going to build a future so that you can now do some thinking into the future itself and plans into the future, and that gives enjoyment. Nothing is more enjoyable than to be able to plan something you'd like to do 5 years from now or 10 years from now or when you retire or when you have children or when the children are out of the home or when the children are in high school or, you know, whatever it might be. We like to plan ahead. And that's what a commitment to the marriage really allows. Okay? Here's number six. Acts of enjoyment. You see, marriage relationships should be fun. Marriage relationships should be hilarious. Marriage relationship should breathe in the totality of enjoyment, of pleasure, and of fun, and laughter, and just good times of hilarity. You see, is your marriage one of laughter? Do you enjoy each other? Do you have fun with each other? You know, when you go out on a date, do you really have fun? When you go out with other couples, do you really enjoy? Do you come home and just laugh over what you did? The end of the week, and you look back on your week and say, you know, you really did some things that were funny. And you'll remember those. Those are like, those go into your memory bank. And when you have a lot of memory of laughter experiences, your marriage then has a lightness to it. It has a an enjoyable component to it. It's not just work, it's not just service, it's not just effort, but you reap kind of a sense of hilarity, you know, with your relationship and with each other in terms of what you enjoy and how you like to spend time, you know, together. And then here's number 7, acts of communication. You see, no one likes to be in a relationship where no one talks, or when you talk and nobody listens, or when you talk and nobody responds. See, a marriage relationship is like a tennis game. You hit the ball back and forth. You don't slam it at each other. You don't just get one hit. But you hit it back and forth, and you volley back and forth, and you enjoy the game together. It's not just to win a game. It's not to beat the other person, not to beat up the other person. But it's to build an entire time frame of enjoyable activity where you have done things together. You've looked at each other. You've listened to each other. You've talked to each other. There's a message there. There's a message there that is valued and appreciated and recognized. And there's an acceptance of what the other person is saying or feeling or trying to express or trying to communicate. See, we like to be with people who listen. We like to be with people who talk. We like to be with people who interchange ideas and who express themselves and who allow you to express yourself. That's acts of communication. And here's number 8, which is my last one, acts of intimacy. Yep, we got there. Acts of intimacy. Obviously, there are two forms of intimacy. There's sexual intimacy and there's non-sexual intimacy. See, relationships thrive on all kinds of intimacy. Intimacy is sharing experiences. It's telling of historical events. It's going back and talking about your childhood. It's opening up your feelings and your thoughts and your mind. It's talking about your hurts and your joys and your accomplishments. It's dreaming into the future. It's giving thought to what can be and what could be and what you would like it to be in the future. Intimacy is asking for support, asking for encouragement when it's needed. See? Knowing each other in a deeper sense, in a deeper way, is really what intimacy is all about. Intimacy is something that becomes part of that relationship every day and throughout the day. That's non-sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy is just a very short period of time, periodically. But non-sexual intimacy is something you live out on a day-to-day basis throughout the day. It's being open and it's being of an attitude of sharing and communicating and informing the other person of your thoughts and feelings and experiences and fears and enjoyments that you've had in the past. It requires hurts and disappointments to be forgiven. We forgive each other in intimacy. We allow for wrong, we allow for error, but we then forgive. And then we move on and we build that relationship to be even stronger. So there you are. Your marriage is good. I'll assume that to be true. Your marriage could be better. And that's true also. Now here are some points to make your marriage better. So if this podcast was helpful to you, share it with somebody else. Forward it on to somebody else. Have them listen to it. Okay? If you have children who are married, it might be something for you to listen to together as a family, or at least share it with your adult children who are married and give them the idea that that marriage or their marriages also can be stronger and wiser and better than what they are currently. Every marriage, no matter how good it is, can be better. So just make sure that you have fullness of your relationship and in that you have a fullness of your hope for the future and your expectations for the future so you can fulfill a future that you will look back on with great joy as you get older in life together. Hey, thanks for joining me for the podcast today, Psychology Report. Go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. If you have children, get a hold of the book there, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. It would be a great book for you to kind of look at in terms of your own parenting relationship. And That also then impacts your marital relationship as well. So I encourage that, okay? And I got good news. We have now exceeded my goal. My goal was to have 25,000 views, 25,000 hits, 25,000 listenings to this program over the past year and 2 months, 14 months. We now have exceeded that. We're now beyond the 25,000. So we're moving on to 26,000. So thanks for being part of the audience and being part of the faithful followers, if you will. And keep listening and pass it on to others so that they can benefit from it as well. So nice to have you with me, and bye for now.